It's 5 o'clock in Pirate Country, and it's time to get pumped up with the P-Man. Hit the door and hit the road. 94.3 The Game is going to get you home, and the P-Man's not holding back.
Yes! Yes! Pirates win! Pirates win!
Bring on the Patrick Johnson Show on 94.3 The Game.
Holy mackerel! Oh, my goodness!
The flagship station of the ECU Pirates.
All right. On the day of the eclipse. Welcome in, everybody. It is a Victory Monday for the Pirates in many respects. Thanks for being with us here. ECU baseball takes 2 out of 3 at FAU, completes a 3-1 road week. They'll have 5 this week, all at home, including Elon tomorrow. And ECU softball has swept their first conference opponent since 2021. And the Pirates have surpassed last year's win total on the softball field. Under Shane Winkler. They're going to host number one Duke tomorrow at 5 o'clock. That's right. Duke is coming in. That'll be the highest ranked opponent that ECU has ever hosted since they started keeping records of these things in 2006. And ECU has twice faced the team ranked number one in the country, losing both the Alabama and Washington. So we'll see what happens with the Blue Devils tomorrow. I'll be on the ESPN Plus call of that. So Pilkington, Philip the Ref Pilkington, will be here tomorrow. Pilk will also have an update for you coming up in a little bit. It is Purple and Gold Pigskin Pig Out Party Week. It is Masters Week. It's the night of the national championship game, and we got so much to get to. We're also going to tell you about the Team Boneyard NIL, teamboneyard.org spring auction coming up in a little bit. So that is going to be happening in a few minutes. Philip is with us here. Hope I got to see you yesterday, Pilk. That was fun. That was good. You did a great job on the softball PA yesterday, I thought.
Well, I appreciate it, you know. Didn't think I botched too many names. Both these teams had easy names, so don't give me too much credit, you know. Some of the days, it doesn't go so smooth. But it was good to see you.
I understand.
Good to hang out a little bit on a Sunday outside of work.
Yeah, it was. It was. Lots going on yesterday and over the weekend in sports. The big news overnight, at least from where I sit, is John Calipari leaving Kentucky to go and be the head coach at Arkansas. I actually thought Cal might would have wound up at SMU when they fired and made the coaching move that they made. I thought for a second, okay, they want to make a splash. Cal doesn't seem to be on the stablest of ground. It's a little shaky at UK, but we end up having the dominoes fall. So now who will be the next coach of Kentucky? It's going to be interesting. And is the next coach of Kentucky someone that coached this weekend, or was it someone that's coaching tonight? And I don't mean Matt Painter. So could it be Hurley? Could it be Nate Oates? We'll see. We will see. I think if Keats had a stronger run at NC State, with him coaching previously at Louisville as an assistant, that might have made some sense, but, you know, we'll see. And the PAC season, of course, came to an end. Interesting going to Arkansas, though. Interesting. And you look at some of the people that turned down Arkansas, and it's not like, you know, and apparently I read Matt Norlander, who does a fantastic job for CBS Sports, wrote this morning that apparently Cal was interested in the Ohio State job, and that obviously never came together because they decided to go with the interim. But and there were some things, I guess, that just were not going to meet Cal's expectation. But apparently NIL, that's something that they're going to be pumping a bunch of money into at Arkansas. Speaking of the pack in the NCAA tournament, I want to throw up a picture for our video audience. This is in the Cardinals football stadium set up for basketball, my buddy Anderson Carter. You can't quite see the whole court there in the vastness of the arena, but he's kind of in a corner area coming out of one of the tunnels sitting above it, and it's a good ways, but the whole picture gives you an idea of how vast it is. This is where I spent my Final Four Saturday night. Well, my buddy the Ev in Greene County, the Ebb. There we go. Hanging out. He's a state guy. We were watching the basketball game. I may or may not have had an extra rib or two for my East Carolina weight loss homies. May or may not have had that.
Shh. Don't tell them.
Shh. wings, which were fine. I mean, the meat's fine. It's protein. But I might have had, those ribs were really good. They were right off the grill when I got there, too, after the softball game Saturday night. All right. Couple of cuts I wanted to get to here. Obviously, South Carolina wins, ending Caitlin Clark's collegiate career. If I were her, I'd come back, make money in NIL, and not even participate in the foolishness that is the WNBA. And I also would not, I mean, make more money in the NIL. I would not at all. I mean, the sheer envy and hate from these UConn players who basically played on all-star teams when they win all of their national championships. And now that there are other more competitive programs taking it seriously in women's basketball, they're having a hard time. I mean, I know they made the Final Four, but they're not what they once were. When Caitlin Clark has done more for the game of women's basketball than any UConn player has probably done ever, or any UConn team. That's a separate story for another time. But this is Dawn Staley being asked on Saturday in the press conference before the women's national championship. This is a celebration of women's basketball in a year that it has gotten more attention than it's ever gotten. And there was an agenda to push trans athletes in women's sports. And they asked Dawn Staley, who is not going to be heading any Mensa meetings anytime soon. Hit it.
I'm under the opinion of if you're a woman, you should play. If you consider yourself a woman or and you want to play sports or vice versa, you should be able to play. That's my opinion. You want me to go deeper?
Do you think transgender women should be able to participate?
That's your question you want basketball. Me to ask. I mean, you want to ask, so I'll give you that. Yes. Yes. So now the barnstorm of people are going to flood my timeline and be a distraction to me on one of the biggest days. Right.
So, yeah, and that's what she should have said there. Look, I'm concentrating. That's what the coach for Iowa said, you know, where I'm concentrating on the But, I mean, look, Staley didn't sound prepared for that. I know she's getting a lot of heat. But, I mean, why is she even being asked that? And why would anybody who believes in the mission of women's sports want there to be biological men who identify as women playing in it? It cheapens all the things that have been accomplished in women's sports. Which apparently this tournament is newer than I thought it was. Appearing on Spectrum News over the weekend, Kamala Harris, the vice president, and I love my guy Tim Boyum, but he's a little bit of a bow tie wearing ninny. He didn't go back and correct the VP here, which I don't, you know, maybe Tim's really polite guy, so I understand him not doing that. But listen to what Kamala Harris had to say about the women's basketball tournament. This is mind numbing how silly it is.
Do you know, okay, a bit of a history lesson. Do you know that women were not, the women's teams were not allowed to have brackets until 2022? Think about that and what that talk about progress, you know, better late than never, but progress and what that has done. Because, of course, when, you know, I had a bracket, it's not broken completely, but I won't talk about my bracket. But you know what, just how we love March Madness, and even just now allowing the women to have brackets and what that does to encourage people to talk more about the women's teams, to watch them. Now they're being covered, you know, and this is the reality. People used to say, oh, women's sports, who's interested? Well, if you can't see it, you won't be. But when you see it, you realize, oh,
they didn't have brackets. Pilk, real quick, going to break. I'm taking UConn tonight.
I agree with you.
Straight up
Dan
in the
Hurley,
cover.
Yeah. Huskies, yeah.
Yeah. Could be a good game, but I think it'll actually be pretty good. All right, we're going to get a break because Pilk's got to get an update later on. I want to save him time for that. But we'll talk Team Boneyard spring auction when we return on the PJ Show.
Taking the rage out of your drive home.
You just cut me off, but it's...
No big deal.
Patrick Johnson on 94.3 The Game and the new IBX Media app.
All right, Matt Slake joins us here on the Patrick Johnson Show, as promised. He, of course, has become instrumental, part of the advisory board for Team Boneyard. They've got their online auctions still going on, and that'll carry on through the 13th, so next Saturday, with the exception of one really cool item. We'll talk to Matt about that in a second. Matt, also part of the ECU Foundation as its chair. So we've had Matt on before. It's nice to have him on again. And Matt, thank you for appearing with us today. It's always great to catch up with you. And I hope all's going well in your world, my friend.
All's well here, man. I appreciate you having us on and allowing us to have the time to get this message back out there. So I really appreciate that.
Yeah, it's great to talk about. This is such a creative way to raise funds for Team Boneyard. It is an online auction. I'm sure there are many, many, many suggestions that you guys get. If you ought to try this, you ought to try that. Where did the idea for this come about? And again, I think it's a brilliant way to go about doing things and raising funds, because these are all really cool things that you can bid on. Also, it takes a lot of legwork to put all this together. You just can't you manifest it a little bit, but somebody's got to go out there and organize all this.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and it was a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Some of the suggestions we've seen across message boards, and just getting suggestions from some of our supporters directly. But I mean, I think the concept was we were trying to figure out how to get our fans closer to Team Boneyard athletes, and a lot of what we have been able to come up with hopefully does just that. It's getting closer to the teams. Mostly the athletes, but also some of the coaches and things like that. When it came to putting it together, we started with a really long list of maybes that these types of things would work.
Right.
And then we started had to kind of, first we filtered them down. Then we actually spent some time with the athletic department and our MMR partner in Playfly, and worked with them to figure out what was doable, including, having conversations with coaches and everything else. Because it's a balancing act. Some of it's really simple. Some of it is a lot of coordination, right? You get down on the field and you're kicking the field goal, that can't be a surprise to Coach Houston and the team. So that's, that kind of thing is like, it can't be Bobby Boucher showing up on the side of the field, if you know what I mean. That type of thing.
Yeah.
So,
Matt Slate is with us. At ECU Slate is where you can catch up with Matt on X, because he'll be happy to tell you everything you need to know about this if you miss anything during the course of our interview. TeamBoneyard.org, and you click right on the top. It is the ECU Team Boneyard Spring 2024 auction. There's a lot of awesome items there. You brought up the field goal. During the spring game, there's an opportunity to kick. Explain that. And then, just so everybody knows, that cutoff date is midweek.
It is, actually. It's this Wednesday, because we have to actually figure out who's going to do that. We have some bids on them already, but the concept is, the team's going to run a game, kind of like a game where at the end of each quarter, there'll be the opportunity to come out and give and take a kick at a field goal. You'll come out. You're going to go into the huddle. You're going to line up, take a live snap, live hold. The defense is going to line up. I think there might be a thud, maybe few words for you, but they're not going to rush in and try to tackle you. But it does give you the opportunity to actually do that while it's happening. So, I think that's a unique way to. You're never really going to get out on the field, obviously in front of the fans, but with the team and do something like that. So that's that was one of the ideas, right? It's what's unique, where we can kind of create a once in a lifetime type experience for a fan.
That's awesome. And that will close, as Matt said, on Wednesday. It is the Team Boneyard Spring 24 auction, teamboneyard.org. I think this is really interesting. You get an opportunity to have film sessions with various coaches, Blake Carroll for football on defense, and also JDB offensively, Kim McNeil for basketball. So this is all kind of cool. That to me would be like the ultimate thing if you're a fan, because it just would be such behind the curtain and insight into what the coaches do. I think that's cool.
Yeah, no, that's actually what we were thinking, right? Is that you come actually for the film sessions for football, it's April 19th. So that's mm-hmm. that Friday after the spring game. So we're going to have spring game film. And they're going to be able to go through Blake Carroll sessions at 5. JDB's is at 7. So if you want to do them back to back, you can do them back to back. This is a buy it now type thing, right? Like, so it's not mm-hmm. sitting on it. You pay for it. You become. And those seats are first come, first served. But yeah, you really get to kind of hear the insight of, okay, this is, you know, from Blake's perspective, this is how we continue to evolve our defense, which, you know, has been strong suit throughout his tenure. And what he has this year, obviously every year is a little bit of a different twist because of talent and personnel that he's got to go to work with. And then you got a retooled offense, right? I mean, we're going to kind of get it. Everybody's going to get a preview of it on this Saturday. But you've got two new quarterbacks that are competing. You got a bunch of new faces at wide receiver. I think running back room is probably the room where people recognize the names the most. But I mean, most of that, you know. But still, you know, what they're doing, I'm assuming, is going to be a little bit different than what we saw in the past. So it's really kind of getting into JDB's, you know, mind a little bit, hearing from him about, you know, how we're going to line up, what's going to look different. You know, I don't think he's going to give us all the play calls, but he's going to, you know, give you philosophy, talk about that, talk about how that changes the pace of the game, the way we're going to approach offense, what his expectations are, which I think will be, you know, it's a brand new chapter in that. And you can already kind of read that through that with the interviews that the players have had so far, that this is a completely different philosophy on offense for East Carolina.
Yeah, it is pretty amazing, the items. I mean, this is kind of once-in-a-lifetime exclusivity stuff. It's really awesome. It is the spring auction for Team Boneyard, and it's at teamboneyard.org. Just click on the banner right at the top of the page online, and you can take part in all of these auctions. The film sessions are buy now, as Matt explained, and then there's a handful of those left, so that's really cool. There's also an opportunity to have dinner with Coach Swartz, Coach Houston, Coach Godwin, Coach McNeil, Pirate players, a lunch with John Gilbert, and golf with Coach Houston also. So this is all pretty. Again, that's quality time that you could spend with the coaches that you might not get to spend otherwise.
No, that's right, and it's in a much more intimate setting, right? I mean, we get some of those things where you can go into a large room where you and, you know, 400 or 500 of your best friends get to hear from a coach, but that is not the concept of what we're trying to do, right? We're really trying to provide an opportunity where it's you and just a few people, right? Of your and that's the people you want to invite to something, to be able to go do exactly what you said, have break a little bread, have some dinner. Talk about, you know, the sport, the philosophy, whatever you want to ask, right? You can sit down with John Gilbert and talk to him about East Carolina sports, alignment, conference, whatever it is you want to have a conversation about. You get to do that, and you know, I think when you get into these situations, you get a little more candor, right, from our staff, because it's just you in a room with them, right, or sitting at a table. So that was the concept, was to be able to bring fans closer, right? And that's where we started, and that's kind of how a lot of these items ultimately evolved, was what way can we get fan engagement in a unique way that we thought would be something different and new for our fans.
Head to teamboneyard.org to find out more about this. If you go, you will have an opportunity from now until 8 p.m. Wednesday to bid on the kick a field goal experience during the spring game. And
I think
that's
eight.
Just, yeah, 8 o'clock on Wednesday night. I think it's just the coolest thing. There's behind-the-scenes tours, there's swag, there's autographs, there's all kinds of, of things. And these are all very unique experiences that you can take part in by bidding on these online auctions. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, I was saying we also had some great support from some of our fans. They're all Pirate Club members, but they've donated tickets as well. So you've got things from being up in the suite during the Florida Atlantic game, which is the Thursday night, night at the Boneyard, to courtside seats basketball next season, where you'll be able to pick a game, to current stuff that's coming up, both the NC State baseball game in a couple weeks, and then the end of the week, the last week of baseball, both including Campbell and Rice. There's tickets for that. And that all kind of came together when people saw this and said, hey, I'm not going to be here for this, or could you use that? And so that's also kind of the great thing is that, some of the stuff was manifested kind of on the fly. It was an audible. And we're like, yeah, we can do that. Let's try that. And so we can't thank those supporters enough for that as well.
Hey, Matt, as we look at, Team Boneyard and where it's come in just a few short months, since I know you got involved and some others have been involved, and since really its infancy a little more than a year ago, the direction it's heading in now, is it becoming sort of what you envisioned as you came on board and got more involved? Is it heading in that direction?
I mean, I think it is. I think it's continuing to evolve. I think all of us are standing, that the board members step back and kind of just try to figure out how do we engage with fans. We went through all of the different kind of ways that you can do it, right? I mean, it really becomes, part of it is fan engagement. Part of it is building a brand and actually making the brand recognizable, where people say, hey, I want to be associated with that. Doing something like we did with Crush Vodka. And that really was kind of, it also proved that people do like some tangibility to things. So that, when you think about the auction, there's a tangibility in the experience. There's a tangibility in the drink. We're working on some other co-branded ideas that have been some inbounds from other companies is saying, hey, we could do something like this with you. So we're working on things like that. But it's trying to bring more of that in, where it also, some people, will write a check and be good with it. Some people want that tangibility. And then I think the next piece that we're working on down the road is the membership model and how to refine that, where we, because this is about driving sustainability of funding. This isn't going to go away from an NIL perspective. This has become and will maintain as part of what is athletic funding. You look across the country, people are embracing it different ways. I think we look at it all the time. I mean, there's if there isn't a headline on NIL every day, it's certainly every week. There's some today, right? I mean, there always is, about how that impacts coaching, how it impacts recruiting, everything else, right? I mean, you know, today what's going on, or what appears to be going on in college basketball, some of that's impacted exactly by, an NIL commitment. So it's pretty impactful, and it's going to be something that we have to continue to be smart about and evolve and continue to be open to ideas as to how we engage our fans and kind of meet them wherever they want to be met from an engagement standpoint. So that's kind of how we're thinking about it.
And, I think you've got to be competitive in this space, because it's here and it's going to be here to stay. So this is something you've got to do to be competitive in our conference and just to be competitive as possible on the general landscape.
Oh, it is. I mean, it is. It's important from a recruiting standpoint and a retention standpoint. I mean, that's the hard part, I think, for all fans. That's just not East Carolina fans. I think that's all fans of how this changes what teams look like from year to year, right? it used to be so much more stable, and it's just not going to be that way. So we're trying to get creative where you figure out ways to work on retention as well as recruitment. And so you would think they're the same, but there's a very kind of a very different philosophy that kind of goes into some of that. There's more to come, but that's kind of where your brain constantly turns. It was like, okay. And you kind of have to, because it's so brand new, you kind of have to fall down and scrape your knees a few times, if you know what I mean? Learn from your mistakes. It's not going to be something you get perfect out of the gate. It's going to be like, oh, that worked. That didn't. And so some of that's a little bit of a testing. The good news is you usually get the feedback pretty quick.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's the society we're in. Hey, Matt, are anything's plan? Is the summer going to be mainly kind of a bring the concepts that are being dreamed up now to fruition? What will the next few months be like going into football?
No, I mean, I think that's right. Right. I think we want to, when I talk about the tangibility, part of that is that there definitely is a demand. You look at some of the swag right there that's on the site, how quick the Parker Bird hats went, what the reception is to the club, the 23 club hats and things like that. So I think, we're working towards having a full on shop, up and running, that does do merchandise. We're working on, rethinking through our membership model as to what the appropriate levels are. Because, it's easy if you stand back and say, if you have 2,000 members paying $10 a month, that's $240,000 of sustainable dollars, right? And so you kind of stand back and go, well, wait, Planet Fitness does that, right? I mean, Netflix originally started at that kind of price point. So, we have to kind of just address that and figure out what the right thing is. So I wouldn't be shocked to see a membership drive some point during the summer. Like I said, the shop, and then figuring out some events, which again are ways to bring fans, members closer to student athletes. And the challenging part there is to work around these student athlete schedules. You kind of don't realize it from afar, they're busy. Until you really figure out what they do, and you're like, "Wow, I mean, they don't have a lot of hours left in the day." So I understand when one of them's like, "Look, I just want to kind of relax and play a video game because that's their downtime too." So we have to be sensitive to how much we can ask them to do as well. But we do want to get them to a few events and things like that, hopefully in the fall.
Hey, Matt, thanks a lot. Great to have you on with us. It is the Team Boneyard 2024 spring auction. Yeah. If you want to kick a field goal in the spring game, you have until 8 o'clock Wednesday to do so by going to teamboneyard.org. And the rest of the events, the auction will end 5 days from now on the 13th. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, and also, if you're out at the spring game, we will have a tent in the vendor area. We have a brand new, cool looking tent. I think that people will be able to spot us. Yeah. So we will be out there. We want to engage with fans. We want to hear with fans. We'll have some things that will take you right to the auction there from a QR code perspective, available. And we may have a little swag for sale. I'm hoping that all comes, to fruition as well. So that's kind of the concept of, we want to be out there, to our fans. So we look forward to doing that this Saturday.
Awesome stuff. Hey, Matt, thanks a lot. Really do appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate it too. Patrick, always, thank you for having me on.
Matt Slate with us here. We'll have Cliff Godwin in just a bit, but right now, Philip the Ref Pilkington. We're talking Pirate baseball. Cliff Godwin joins Steve and I going myself here as we take a peek into the goings-on in ECU baseball and get Coach's perspective. A single game for Coach G on this Monday. No coaches show. ECU having their awards banquet for athletics tonight. And Coach Godwin is with us here. Coach, really nice week against some pretty quality opposition, and it all started at NC State. So we'll get into all of that. Congratulations, though, on the 3-1 week that was.
Thanks, Patrick. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I thought our guys did a really good job. Four games on the road, obviously, is not easy to navigate, especially playing a rivalry game at NC State on Tuesday and then flipping around and going down to FAU, which FAU hadn't lost a weekend series at home all year. And, of course, you know, one of our best players not able to play. So, being able to do that, I thought that was awesome.
Going back to Tuesday in that top 20 matchup, a couple of things. We could start by talking about Aaron Groller's performance. What an outing for him. And it seemed like you felt pretty good about letting him at least get through three with the way he was pitching. He was so efficient and was so economical in what he was doing. But what impressed me is just how locked in and aggressive he was.
Well, I mean, really, we wanted him to go out there and close out the first inning. I mean, we've said this a few times on your show, but, you know, that's got to be the mentality when we're playing some of these games is just go out there and close out the first inning and then just pass the ball to the next guy. And I thought our guys did a really good job of that on Tuesday. I'm in NC State, but Groller gave us three, and, of course, we ran him back out for the fourth. And I think it was a leadoff walk or HBP or whatever it was, and then – turn it over to, I think, Danny Bill, and, you know, just kept passing the ball, and I thought our guys did a really good job.
One of, to me at least, one of the better performances up and down the lineup at the plate. It just seemed like the Pirates were very aggressive in their approach on Tuesday at State.
I thought our guys just were really dialed in. You know, it was about us going into Raleigh and trying to do something that ECU baseball hadn't done since 2009, which we haven't played them every year since 2009, but still it's been a lot of opportunities to go there and win a baseball game, and we haven't done it. So I just was excited the way our guys were engaged. They have a ton of purpose and focus and intent. The energy was awesome, and I thought our guys just played well, which is great to see.
Danny Beal ended up getting the win, and Danny seems to be heating up. I know Saturday things got a little rocky for him, but by and large, Danny Beal is seeming to peak at the right time and just seems to have the right mentality and temperament to be able to take the ball as many times as you need him to in a week.
Yeah, Danny's been great. You know, Saturday was a blip on the radar. Him and I talked after Saturday's game, and of course, he felt terrible, but at the end of the day, it's one baseball game. It's not one year. It's not your career. So you've got to have a short memory when you play this game, especially when, you know, Danny, Shank, whoever it is, maybe closing out games, you got to have a short memory when it doesn't go right.
Absolutely.
Coach, Friday nights, Treya Savage, you know, again, just an awesome performance. And the development of his splitter, Coach, how crucial has that been to just, you know, definitely work? It works against righties and lefties, but it almost seems like when he throws it well, they have no shot against it.
Yeah, I thought Trey was really special on Friday. You guys might could have told, I mean, could see on TV or whatever, but I'm telling you, man, you had to throw the ball over the white. The guy, the umpire, not that it was a bad thing, but you really had a big league strike zone, and Trey was magnificent. I mean, just he was just as good in the seventh as he was in the first. And, you know, I told AK, and, you know, they didn't have the velocities up on the board. I was like, I don't know how hard his last fastball was, but it was hard. The eye test said it was hard. That's Trey's mentality. You know, I mean, he, of course, his freshman year was kind of the adrenaline junkie. But, man, when he gets to the end of his rope, he goes and gets it, and he goes and finishes it out. And you know, that seventh inning was crucial for him to go out there and get, because we squandered some runs out there offensively in the seventh and eighth, I think, and then Shinkman was able to close it out in the eighth and ninth. But Trey was special, and Shink obviously was special all week.
Coach, you look at the weekend. I mean, obviously losing in tough fashion Saturday, FAU has momentum, you know, going into Sunday. But just the resilience of your team, you get down 3-0 early in that game. And on Saturday, there were times y'all struggled, obviously, getting runs in from third, less than two outs, which I know y'all are really good at. And I thought Colby Wallace had a big hit to kind of, you know, open the door a little bit. What do you think of your team's resiliency, ability to bounce back on Sunday to take the series?
I like to say that they surprise me each and every day, you know, when things don't look like it's going well. I mean, Norby actually pitched good. We just made two errors behind him, and, of course, they put up a crooked number, and You know, FAU's feeling good about themselves because they got all the momentum. They won the day before on a walk-off. So, but I thought Joey Barini was the spark plug, man. Our guys were having a tough time getting to that left-hander's fastball, and Shaq rocketed a double, you know, down the right field line. Then Bristol Carter hits a single, and then he ends up on second because of an error. And then Dixon, you know, gets him, you know, to third base. I just thought we started putting some at-bats together. And then the next inning, we just kept rolling. And, you know, they brought in one of their best relievers. I forget the guy's name, but a right-hander, his ERA was low. And he didn't record an out because our guys were just dialed in and just hitting line drives all over the field and putting pressure on their pitcher and their defense. So I was super pumped for our guys because, you know, when you have one of your best offensive players, Jacob Starling, he's not just a great offensive player, but he's a leader on our team too. And him being out and, you know, Colby having to go in there and play third and Dixon having to move to second. And I just thought those guys played great this weekend and never missed a beat.
Wyatt Luntz for Sheikman. Coach, you touched on him earlier, but three innings yesterday and I think nine appearances in a row. He's gone multiple innings and obviously pitched extremely well. Just his ability to come in almost in any situation and deliver, pitch out of a jam, go multiple innings. What is he, you know, doing that's so effective? What does he mean to your back end of the bullpen?
I mean, obviously he's got good stuff, man. I mean, his slider is real, and then he's, you know, mixing in his fastball, and he's throwing a changeup every once in a while as well to lefties. But it's his mentality. I mean, when the guy comes in, he's out there. He's aggressive for the most part in the strike zone with really good stuff, and he's extremely competitive. And I mean, he's our guy when we need to get out of a jam. I mean, he's the guy that we go to, and. Of course, that wasn't the plan for him to go that long yesterday, but he was like, Coach, I feel great. And we needed him yesterday. I can tell you that because it was getting hairy. And for him to be able to come into that bases loaded jam and only giving up two runs and then pitching the eighth and ninth and even pitching around an error in the ninth, special stuff.
Cliff Godwin joined Steve and Igo and myself as we talk Pirate Baseball at ECU with the series win in Boca Raton over Florida Atlantic over the weekend. Pirates will play five games this week, including the Charlotte series, first ever matchup in the American between the two. That is going to be happening this weekend at Clark LeClaire Stadium during the Pigskin weekend. So it'll be a festive weekend, as it always is. Weather is looking really nice for the days that the Pirates are scheduled to play, and that's always a good thing. Cliff, Dixon Williams, how do you think he is playing at this point? It seems like, you know, whether it's making some spectacular plays in the field, third, second, wherever he is, at the plate, starting to see some results, it seems like he's more comfortable.
Yeah, he's just playing with more confidence. I mean, that's one thing that you can imagine. You know, guys from Greenville, North Carolina, he wants to play well for East Carolina University. I mean, it's his hometown. And I think at times people from Greenville, when they play here, it might be harder for them, you know, like a Bryant Packard or Davis Kirkpatrick, just because they grew up here and everybody knows who they are. But I was super happy for him on Tuesday, the way he played at NC State in a hostile environment with all the media stuff that you guys put out there going into the game and stuff. And, of course, he drives in the first two runs. He makes a SportsCenter top 10 play out in left field that would have been a big momentum swing for NC State because they had a runner at second base at the time, no outs. That ball falls in, run scores. Probably another guy at second base, and he makes that catch, and they don't score a run. So Dixon's been great. He moved over to second base because of Starling's injury this weekend, mm-hmm. Never missed a beat, swung the bat well this weekend, and just is playing with a lot more confidence, which is great to see.
With Starling, what are you thinking his week will look like potentially?
Oh, man, I would say best-case scenario Friday. That's what we're keeping our fingers crossed with. It's a oblique injury, which those are tricky. Obviously, swinging a bat and running, all that happens in your core. So he did it on a check swing at NC State on Tuesday night. And probably nobody knew it, but he couldn't play defense in the ninth inning. That's why he came out of the game. It wasn't me just getting him off his feet. He was like, Coach, I can't play defense. So we got him out of the game. And, of course, it was a tough weekend for him. He's from Florida. His mom, sister, ton of family down there. And,
right.
I felt terrible for him, but I just kept loving on him and saying, hey, man, like, we need you at the end of the season more than we need you this weekend. And I know you won't play, but we're going to get him healthy so he'll be ready to go down the stretch run.
Colby Wallace inserted into the lineup in the FAU series and playing third, where it seems like he's got an opportunity to kind of be the guy in the future there. But he drives in a run each day, gets a hit. And in the vein of Dixon Williams, just kind of the update on Wallace, who has a tremendous head of hair, but also, as a freshman, that's the other thing that's never easy, is coming to the program and be someone that does contribute meaningfully as a freshman.
Yeah, Colby's kind of a throwback, though. I mean, he is a guy that obviously looks physically older than a freshman, as you guys would say. But he doesn't say a whole lot at practice. We would like for him to talk a little bit more, but he just shows up and goes to work. And, coaches appreciate that. His teammates appreciate that. He's gotten a lot better since the day he stepped foot on campus. And a lot of credit goes to Jeff Palumbo working with him defensively. Also, Coach Lartigue and Brian Packard working with him offensively. He has gotten head and shoulders better than when the day he first got here. But he's willing to work. He does have a competitive edge to him. It's a quite quiet competitiveness. But he never seems like the moment's too big. And a lot of times freshmen do make the moment too big, especially this day and age, because there's a lot older players out there because of the portal and stuff.
I was going to ask you about Coach Colby's his arm strength at third. Obviously, you can just tell he's able to make a ton of big time throws. How far has he come defensively, just in terms of his glove work, his range? Because obviously, with that arm, it seems like he can be a pretty special defender in time.
Yeah, no question. I mean, I think early in the fall, just his first step quickness wasn't to the level that we would like to play a high level third base. But he went over there, he wasn't scared. To be honest with you, we were working him out more at first base early in the preseason in the spring, but then in BP, I was like, man, he's moving better. So it's a credit to him. He's put in a lot of work, like I said, with Jeff, and, he's just gotten more, confident over there. He plays out front with one hand with your glove and secures the baseball. And obviously he's got a big arm. So that helps when you're playing on the left side of the infield.
Five game week, Coach, and obviously that brings a big challenge in itself. How important is it for some other pitchers who maybe haven't thrown in a while to step up this week? Because I assume they're definitely going to get opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of guys, and we kept harping on it even after last weekend at home at UAB. We didn't use a lot of pitchers. Of course, we kind of used some of the same guys at NC State. But I told them yesterday after the game, hey, some of you guys that have wanted some opportunities this coming. We got five games in 5 days, so it'll be good. Those guys have worked hard. We have confidence in those guys, so we need the older guys to continue to encourage those guys that get the opportunities. But we're excited about it, and we just need to have that closer's mentality that we've had in a few games when Trey and Root are not starting. Just go out there and close out innings.
And I was going to ask, too, the toughest part about a five-game week, Coach, is it just the mental grind? Do you guys even practice at all, or is it more just your focus on the game? And I don't know, do the guys maybe just enjoy playing the games more so than practicing?
Well, I mean, you'll probably be proud of me, but our older players have had more time off this year than they've ever had leading up into this week. Just getting guys off their feet, like a JC, a Carter Cunningham, a Starling, a Joey Barini. JC got hit in his hand a couple weeks ago, and he's still not 100% swinging, but so to limit his swings. Joey obviously limits his swings because of his wrist. Riley Johnson hardly ever swings when we're not playing games to keep him healthy. So we have done that, but we're just going to take it one day at a time. Today will be our guys lifting, getting a lot of treatment in with Logan, our athletic trainer, and just getting their bodies fresh. And look, we're home. And just after being on the road for all week, we're super excited about being home. We need Pirate Nation to come out every night, day, support our guys. They're playing great. We don't play perfectly, but this team has a knack of winning even when we don't play our best baseball, which is a great quality, to be honest with you. I mean, yesterday wasn't pretty, but I was super proud of our guys, just the resilience that they showed and the togetherness that they showed just to continue to fight and to be able to win a series on the road.
Coach, out of that pen, who are some guys maybe that are on the come a little bit that you feel like are just there to be able to contribute that we could see this week?
I think Jaden Winter will start a game. I think Corey Costello will start a game. Of course, DiLorenzo will get out there. Chris Kaler will get out there. Norby will be available, maybe not tomorrow, but Wednesday. So, and then some other guys, maybe Parker Thomas. Eric Ritchie will be out there at some point in time again. Danny Beal will be available tomorrow as well. Schenkman and Jake Hunter will not be available Tuesday, Wednesday. So we'll be giving the ball to somebody else instead of those two guys.
Gotcha. What will be some of the things just on the whole, maybe even offensively, that you'll be looking for this week and as you get ready for Charlotte and as you get through these five games?
I ain't getting ready for Charlotte. We're getting ready for Elon. So, and offensively, we just want our guys to continue to keep the chain connected offensively, whatever our plan is, to do that and to put pressure on the opposing pitcher and their defenses.
Coach Godwin, thanks for the time. Always great to catch up with you. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Coach Godwin there, and we'll have baseball coverage for you tomorrow, starting with the pregame ahead of the Elon matchup at 5:45. Philip Pilkington will be in tomorrow for the show, and he'll get you ready for the game. Also have some football audio for you. That'll be with the ref, Philip Pilkington, tomorrow, who did a great job of producing the show today. Big thanks to Matt Slate. Don't forget the Team Boneyard Spring Auction going on right now. You can check that out. And if you want to bid, have dinner with Coach Godwin, ECU Athletics Experiences, that's through the 13th, with the exception of the field goal kicking for the spring game. You have until 8 o'clock Wednesday night to get that done. Thanks to Steven. Thanks to Coach Godwin. And we'll see you in the morning on Talk of the Town. Tomorrow I'll be on the call of number one Duke in softball taking on East Carolina. And Steven will, we have no coaches show tonight. Steven and I get the night off. All right, we'll catch you tomorrow. Enjoy the national championship game. And it is Masters Week, everybody. It's going to be a fun week on the show.